Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zulcan Count is called White Magnetic Dog, and it is the first day of the White Dog Wave Spell, and it is the Crystal Moon Day 4. And I was just rambling on last episode, and then my closing song came on. So it was like, must have gotten in some kind of groove, a groove of longing to share. And that was because I was absent for one episode. And so I'm jumping right back in to add more content and to situate you for this new wave spell. And I've just really been thriving taking in other content from the internet. So I have to remember we're doing Mayan astrology, and I'm not just sharing about my experiences of being in the audience of other brilliance. I'm actually just really always so glad to be inspired by art. And this feeling state that I'm having a hard time shaking and getting in my head instead of being in my heart, where I'm feeling quite devoted and loyal to a particular artist that I just recently witnessed in internet time, is so emblematic of being in the White Dog moment. When I started with a calendar, I associated love with romance and White Dog being about love, heart, and loyalty. My hope and expectation and even experience was that I might have loving connections or, you know, transformations in my love life, enter new love interest or a sweetness between me and a current partner. And then I guess I evolved and grew older over 20 years and got dogs who are mostly white. And I just started to realize that White Dog is an act of loving without having a particular object, and especially not another human object. That it's a time of being loyal and loving and heart-centered and devoted. And it could be in the posture of a devotee to a spiritual teaching or lineage. It can be that you feel, I feel, just like love of life. It's affirmation of life experience. And it could be love of other people that we don't know, but we recognize like they have this beauty and resonance and it fills our hearts. Okay, so all of that is obviously something that you can access. And then romantic love still exists within that paradigm, that you could find that the other person that you're an audience of is someone within reach that you care about suddenly, or you have for a while and it's just spilling out of you now. And, you know, you can fixate on them as well and watch the karma and the energy vortex of the White Dog surround take over.
The other thing that has happened to me in white dog wave spells and on white dog days is that I have to experience how much pain my heart is in, that it's just a resonance field for attuning to my heart organ. And I guess I don't mean the one that's pumping blood. I mean the heart center, the chakra of our hearts, where we love from, and that there have been times, passages where I was just having to repair my breakage there. And maybe not from a breakup, but just recognizing like, nope, this white dog time is all about me having to face how heartbroken I have been in the distance past, and whatever is going on in my life now has made it impossible for me to move forward without attending to this finally. Or, you know, my heart is getting bigger and expanding, and it's just breaking through all this restrictive indoctrination that came in family of origin or society. So those are things that could happen in the white dog time that we are just now beginning. It's always great that you can feel it the day before. So yesterday, red cosmic moon, which is the analog of white dog, meaning the support. So it kind of supported its entry. But just in the cosmic tone, we can feel the last vestiges of the wave spell, and then this kind of different flavor, which is the shift, the transit into the new wave spell. So, for instance, on Red Cosmic Moon, I guess I was finishing the last sort of touches on a really big push that happened for me around my home renovation in Red Earth. I said about Red Earth that you can always see an evolution, a change in the Red Earth time. So you're at the beginning, and by the end, there has been a describable, discernible evolution. And it gets exciting because it's sort of like, aha, that is really different now in my life. It's evolved. So different. It's important to see it as like, it's progressed. I've moved forward. On this road of life, I made it a distance farther, and I can tell. And so in terms of my project, I got a lot done. And you know, the blue hand antipode of Red Earth is an amazing time for getting stuff done, but it has just such different flavor. Blue hand is like, we're super functional and in charge and on it ourselves. Like, I am doing all this. I'm doing it well. I'm dexterous. I'm intelligent. Red Earth is just like, life is handling this. I am a passenger, but I'm checking it out. I'm checking out what happens when I surrender and am active. But it's just a cruise. It's a cruise. There's not a mechanical feel to it. There's like rising and meeting the destiny of the open road. And I watched that. I felt great about it. It went really fast, the Red Earth wave spell. I was sort of like, that happens, right? When we take long car rides where you just lose track of time. You just float. So that is definitely part of the triumph of the Red Earth time, is the pleasure of getting kind of liberated from, I mean, it's wonderful to be in the moment, but it's also wonderful to be beyond the moment and floating. So in the Red Earth finale day, the cosmic day, I could see, wow, I've done a lot. There's always more to do, but I've done a lot, and that feels great. And then I could feel the love that rises from that. Love as appreciation of life. I got a lot done, or this evolution happened. Love as appreciation of self. Like, oh my goodness, I feel part of and connected and accomplished and vital. And then love of others, because from that appreciation of self and appreciation of life, naturally I start to go, oh my gosh, I love the people in my life. And, you know, some of them are super obvious intimates that I can, like, make sure they know how much I love them. And then I guess, like, there's circling, which is sort of the beginning of a new white dog wave spell, an invocation of it. I'm like, I mean, I don't know if they know that I love them, but right now I can feel that I do. I can feel that I love them. And maybe in White Dog, the wave spell, I'll have to tell them or be more forthright in my actions in some way. Or maybe not, because what's so great about wave spells, at least from my perspective, is you just are on a ride and you take the next indicated step from the station of moving through the 13 tones as they rise in a waveform and then break apart. All you have to do is wake up and be watchful for those rhythms, and it takes you on the perfect ride, perfect wave. I'm going to remind you what I said, because when we're in the wave spells that are really hard in the beginning, or let's say the second quartet of wave spells in the Dzogchen and beyond, when I'm describing, like, this is the work here of the old Dzogchen, it's hard work, thanks for enduring it, thanks for being awake to it, then there are wave spells that really don't have that level of challenge sewn into them, because the White Dog wave spell is a celebration of love, and humans struggle with that, but they don't fight it in the sense of, like, I mean, actually, it's not exactly true, right? Love is a very difficult, sorrowful, grievous experience for many, many people. And I laughingly can say I've been pretty unlucky in love. So in terms of romantic love, I've been pretty unlucky. But I would say that it's easier to face love and its challenges for us in terms of how our ego works than to face White World Bridger death and its challenges, to face Red Serpent, as I described last podcast, like living inside of a place of non-empathic, self-defensive anxiety. And there are other wonderful things about Red Serpent, but those are the super strong triggers that make it a difficult passage. White Mirror, you know, invoking this idea that we will willingly experience pain and loss in order to find a greater connection to divinity. All of those, and they surge, and there's so many of those ego busting myths that come, you know, wave spell after wave spell for a while. So again, I think that White Dog just is part of the freedom from that level of challenge, difficulty, alien beliefs that we have to integrate. I feel like we want to believe in love, and the White Dog wave spell's struggle is just how much we let ourselves. And it's a time to learn how to let ourselves love more. You know, I live with four dogs, and it's a topic of conversation wherever I go when I have the dogs, and I don't take them to the grocery store, but I take them hiking all the time. So we see a lot of people with dogs, and I have more than everyone else, and it's a way to meet people, it turns out. But I am so aware, since I live somewhere where I really don't know anyone, and it's been a pandemic, of how much I love my animals. And really shamelessly, because I think for a long time I was like, yeah, I really love dogs. I know that's like a second way to love, and it's kind of a chicken shit way to love. They're animals, you know, they're not argumentative, and they don't have their own set of demands. And so I get to, you know, do baby steps towards relationship. But my dogs, of course, have this pure heart mammalian thing going, this animal instinctual love, and it teaches me so much about unconditional love and devotional love. And we are just the badass dog pack. I'm like riding the dog train here. They outnumber me. I don't spend enough time with humans. I like doing what they like doing. I don't like doing things that they don't like doing. When we are out on the trail, I just laugh. Like, it's just, it's a huge flow. It's seamless. I mean, terrible things happen. They run after stuff and people have to call me and tell me, I think it's I have your dog. But mostly, we're just this gyration of adventuring, spirited, heart opened life affirmation when we're out there. So that's what, you know, the work of opening your heart through these wave spells gets you, your version of that. Not you having all the dogs, but you having a dog heart of your own. I think that my mood is also lifted by being in the crystal tone, the crystal moon, and my awareness through my whatever sensitivity to the calendar cycles. I'm just like, yep, what I said last podcast is true. There is less conflict. There is less separation. There is less polarity. There is more peace. I saw my mom, like, I guess it was the second day of the crystal moon. Not an issue. It was like the world's shortest visit for someone. I don't think I've seen her in 2 years. I saw her for like 25 minutes. I don't think we had any sourness. It was very peaceable. That is good news. That is very much the crystal tone in action for me. I think that's one of the major examples I can give and then not get too personal. So I'm excited. I'm excited about it culturally. That's really, you know, my greatest concern after all this headline busting polarization theme of blue lunar storm. I'm interested to see how that starts to crack and change, because inevitably it will. So the crystal moon, we're just in the first week, but it's the time when we can feel that it's different than the spectral. Like the first week, first days of a new moon, a new 13 moon year moon, 28 day moon, the first days of it are when we can notice it most starkly, because we're in something different than last week. And it comes in through the east, the direction of the east. So it's coming in through the fire that is initiated in our mind. And I think that's another reason we're really awake to its nuances as it enters. We receive it and we get ignited. Okay, so now I think we've covered things that are sort of within reach here. The crystal moon is the moon that we're in. The white dog wave spell is the one that we've entered. The red earth wave spell is the one that's receding. So I get to just like spin out and do more remote learning. I think what I mean by that is like less mainstream Mayan astrology and get into the weeds a little bit. We have the time. So a topic that I'm thinking of is just how to anticipate the wave spells to come without future tripping, to just remember that we are now in the fourth of five quartets or sets of four wave spells that are red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow. This quartet started with red earth. And so we had red earth, and now we have white dog, and then it'll be blue knight, and then yellow warrior. And then the final four are always red moon, white wind, blue eagle, and yellow star. So I think that's just in the theme of talking about why it can feel easier in the latter half of the Dzogchen, is that we are out of the third quartet, which is in the west, and that was Red Serpent, and then White Mirror, Blue Monkey, and Yellow Seed. So that's really, like, again, the third week in the west. The blue western transformation is intense and dramatic and demanding and emotional. And now these four that we're in are about being in the south and in our bodies. And then after that, we have the center of the Dzogchen, I mean, the center of the medicine wheel, which is colored green. So the fourth is yellow and the fifth is green, and the fourth is considered the south, and the fifth quartet is the center, and it's the only time we see a different color. And so from here on in, we are, you know, really moving towards a kind of, when we move to the center in this place of enchantment, it is otherworldly. So now everything is like becoming physicalized and earthy and real to our bodies, and then it's going to kind of blast off and be, again, trippy. And we're going to be coordinating those wave spells, a lot of them, with finishing up this year in the cosmic moon. And so it's going to get pretty beautiful, like lavish enchantment and, again, magic that feels like, you know, living in effervescence. I believe that's how our year is going to finish. When we're in yellow electric seed, the year, on July 26th, that is actually just the beginning of the white wind wave spell. So we finish this year, the July 24th will be white magnetic wind, and then the day between years, the day out of time, July 25th, will be blue lunar night, and then we'll begin the year yellow electric seed. So the future year is situated in the white wind wave spell. So again, we will go through the cosmic moon in this red moon watery place, and prior to that, we will be in the yellow warrior. So I think I'm being pretty nonlinear, but I'm throwing a lot of ideas about the future out there, in part because, as I said last podcast, I'm really trying to get everyone to be in the moment, but have the moment be the final two moons of this year. So it's kind of like celebrating Lent, which goes on for 6 weeks. It's just like that. Now, but when you think of like long festivals or ceremonies, like they take us deeply into the moment, but the moment they are expressing is not just a second or a minute or a day. It's an expanse of time that's all identified as ceremonial. And the ceremony that we've entered is the conclusion of a phenomenal year, a memorable year, a historic year, and then the transcendence of it. So I want you to be really alive to these tonal conjunctions between the wave spells and the moons that remain, and just show you, like, look, let me itemize in these moons that remain, the crystalline cosmic of this blue lunar storm year. These are the wave spells we're going to encounter. They're going to take us into resolution and into oneness. And the transcendence is just a really emotional, spiritual word for shifting from one year to the other. And we do that over a long stretch of time, 28 days, so that we really feel sensitively the seam between cycles. So I guess in my way, and I know I'm breathy, it's because I watched the show, and I didn't alluded it to it earlier. I watched Bo Burnham's Inside, It's just showing on Netflix. It's a pseudo comedy special that he made during quarantine, and he's brilliant. And I watched it last night without knowing what I was getting into, and it blew my mind, and it made me happy, and it made me love him. And then I watched it again because I didn't have anyone to talk to about it. I live with dogs, and so I thought, well, I'll just amplify it in my own being by watching it again, and then I am here. And so you're getting someone who's so gratefully mind blown, heart opened by someone's art that I'm having a hard time being articulate. But my offering, different than his, but also passionate and heartfelt, is to make sure that you are awake and alive for having survived what other people call 2020 plus 21, a bit of 21, but what we call Blue Lunar Storm that started July 26th of 2020, well into the quarantine and the pandemic's first stages, but we know it is more. We know it is like this wave surge of enduring the ongoing state of being in a pandemic and getting through the American election and beyond and living through the big lie and all of this intense facing off culturally and Black Lives Matter, the foment of the resistance that really seems to imitate 1968, 52 years ago, Blue Lunar Storm year, all of that. This has just been, again, a historic moment, and especially because of the 52-year connection back to 1968 and 69. And I want all of that to be so deeply present with you this year that has been lived by you and lived by us all globally and culturally. The crystal moment is about reflecting backward and saying what we've been through. So I want you to have that, but I also want you to have the celebration of how peaceful it is to be at the end of the story of this particular year. And that is where we find ourselves. That feels good. Okay, and so I'll just take you through the next couple of days because I want you to know what's coming. We will have on tomorrow, Thursday, this short week, the Memorial Day week in America makes it short and confusing, feels rushed that we'll already be at the end of some kind of work week, but Thursday will be a lunar day. It'll be Blue Lunar Monkey. So not only do we have the lunar energy again, but we have, this is actually a really big day, Thursday. We have, it's blue and lunar, and it's the guide of the year. So this is really important, and I'm glad I thought of it before it was too late. Blue Lunar Monkey tomorrow is what this year was guided by. So part of what's hard about Blue Lunar Storm the year is it's guided by Blue Lunar Monkey, which is, again, that's where the big lie came from. Year was guided by a bunch of people completely deceiving themselves or others, both, about an election fraud. Like, just sort of unfathomable. It's like childlike guilelessness. That's Blue Monkey leading us. Blue Monkey can be really magical, but I mean, we just had the Blue Monkey wave spell. And again, I feel like no matter what happens in Blue Monkey, the wave spell, it's not real. It's not going to materialize. It's an illusion. It's like a game I play. And it is play is one of the words for Blue Monkey. Just like, okay, well, if it happens on a Blue Monkey day or in the wave spell of Blue Monkey, like, I just, I'm not buying it. Let's see if it's still around when it's not the Blue Monkey wave spell. Because for some reason, it's just sort of that trickster energy. Now you see it, now you don't. And something about that has been pulling us forward in this year, but it's going to stop. Yellow Electric Seed is guided by Yellow Electric Star. But you can look at Blue Lunar Monkey on Thursday and you can see what happens and see how, especially during Mercury retrograde, that it's showing you, indicating in some kind of retrospective way, what has been guiding you, pulling you forward this year. And then on Friday, it'll be the electric day, yellow electric human. And on Saturday, it'll be red self-existing Skywalker, which is Obama's Mayan birthday. I always love to celebrate that because it comes in white dog. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.